Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, and my co-host Felicity Signal Reed, and our guest today, Ruth Walker. Before the break, Ruth, we talked about the retreats that Writescape offers, but Writescape also offers workshops. Perhaps you can tell our listeners a little about that.
I certainly can. We offer a number of workshops that range from anything from half day, even 1 hour, 2 hour mini workshops, all the way through to weekly workshops over a period of weeks at community colleges, at writing conferences, workshops for national organizations. But it isn't just offering a lot of different workshops. It's offering workshops that will appeal to a wide range of writers. So I'm thinking, for example, Dorothea Helms and I offered a workshop not that long ago in Campbellcroft, a workshop we call Write to Win, and it's all about winning writing contests. Both Dorothea and I have been fortunate to be writing contest judges. We've won a number of awards as writers, and we knew that there was a lot of expertise and tips and ideas that we could offer to writers. And we had at that workshop every level of writer, from someone who was just beginning to explore their voice all the way through to writers who were published and just interested in finding out tips and ideas on how to win writing contests. They came from Port Hope, they came from Campbellcroft. It was a terrific workshop.
Not just in Northumberland either, but over quite a big geographical area.
Oh my goodness, yes. I've been to Bracebridge, you've been to Orillia, up to Ottawa, certainly the GTA as well, Durham region as well as York region, etc. So we travel with our workshops, that's for sure. And
absolutely.
We're in demand, which is very exciting. And I think that has a lot to do with the style. The fact that the workshops are delivered so that it doesn't matter what level of writer you are, our exercise, our activities, our approach, it's accessible, and it leaves lots of room for a writer who perhaps is less confident to feel comfortable enough to take some risks with their writing, to the more seasoned participant who wants to really dive deeper, and there's lots of room for that to happen as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the hallmarks of our workshops, too, is that they are interactive. You don't sit and listen for hours. There's always something to try and lots of group discussion about things.
Oh, absolutely. I say this at every workshop, and I don't just say it because it sounds good. I say it because it's true. I learn from the participants. No matter what level of experience a person has when they come into a workshop, they bring their ideas. They bring their own set of creativity tools, their approach to writing, writer's voice, and each one is unique and each one is interesting. We do a fair amount of sharing. You have to create a safe space, as you know. That's something that's very important to us, so people can experiment, can try new things on, try new genres, try new approaches. The learning is in the doing, and the learning is in the looking at what you've done.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You've talked about workshops for writers, but Writescape also delivers workshops to corporate entities.
You and I had talked about the number of pieces of corporate writing that we'd seen that were, well, frankly, not very interesting. We knew that there was a need out there. We both worked part-time for Ontario Government Ministry. We had seen the kinds of writing that happens with bureaucrats, and it's no different from a lot of corporate writing where it's very high level, not very interesting to the average person who sometimes is the person who really needs the information. So we floated the balloon of doing creative communicators as a half-day workshop using creative writing techniques, fiction writing techniques mostly, and apply them to corporate writing. It was an incredible success. It was very well received by the participants. They had never had feedback evaluations like they had on our half-day workshop. Since it's grown from there, from being a half-day to being a full day of creativity that is routinely filled up within hours of it being posted available. And we also have done other corporate workshops out in the community, working with people, helping them get to be able to write the story. Because people want a story. They don't want facts and figures and statistics.
Right. And talking about wanting the story and being creative, you are a novelist, so I thought I would perhaps ask you to read a little from your novel.
Great, thank you. I'm going to then read from Living Underground, which is a novel about two characters, a woman, Sheila, and a man, Sigmund, who, when Sheila was a teenager, she met and was influenced quite profoundly by Sigmund, a German immigrant who had a traumatic influence on her life and then disappeared from her life, only to reappear 30 years later asking for her help. The piece I'm going to read from is actually from Sigmund's childhood, which is post-World War I, Dresden, Germany. The novel does go into both of their childhoods and gives you a sense of how their childhoods are parallel and certain things that affected both of them and created the kinds of adults they became. So this is Sigmund and his mother in Dresden, Germany, shortly after the First World War. Their lives have undergone a great change. Music has been introduced into his life. It was to a jazz tune that Hilda began to dance that February night. At first, she was content to spin and kick on her own while Sigmund watched warily from his seat. Laughing, she took his two hands into hers. "Sigmund, come, dance with me." Pulling him up, she led him around and around the small space, their shadows traveling over the walls and furniture. Keeping his eyes on her feet, Sigmund tried to follow the steps. The scent of her perfume competed with the smell of her body. His hands and neck were wet. He felt dizzy, exhilarated, and terrified. Never before had his mother behaved in such a way. He wondered if she were ill. He wanted to dance all night. He wanted her to stop. Just when he thought he would fall to the floor, the music finished. "Ah, Sigmund!" She was breathless, flushed, and smiling wildly. "I have not danced in years, not since that last time at the terrace with your father." He sat down and waited. She pressed a lace-edged hanky to her upper lip, then dabbed behind her neck. Despite the short bob her hair had recently undergone, errant tendrils hung damp and loose. That was a long time ago. The smile was changing, moving to softness, to longing. "We were going to the opera, but first supper at the terrace. And there was a small orchestra, a very small orchestra." A slight laugh. "So many young men, so many fine young men from all over Europe." A pause, and then, "From all over the world. I wore my green silk dress, the Maltese lace, so and so." She brushed a hand over her shoulders, her neck. "Bitte, Mutter." Sigmund kept watching her face. She was not looking at the photograph, but out the window toward the western sky. Hilda moved her hands over her eyes and again down to her neck. "Mutter," he tried again. "Tell me, please." She shifted to the old man's chair and stood leaning forward against the back, her hands gripping the top. "He said I had beautiful eyes, but I had never seen eyes like his. They shone so that when he looked at you, it was as if all of heaven was inside." She blushed and laughed with a sigh. "When I was with him, I thought like a poet." Her hands relaxed and she stroked the top of the chair. "We met at the Zwinger. He was a student, you know. Did I ever tell you that he read Goethe and Schiller? Studying mine engineering, you understand. And he read Goethe and Schiller. Imagine. He was visiting..." She stopped, looked directly at Sigmund, and began again. "He was a student in the academy at Freiburg. They were visiting the Zwinger. And I was there with my father and mother and cousin Helga. He was so polite, he and the other young men. They invited us all to supper. My father was so impressed. One of the students was the British ambassador's son, and another was a cousin to a Russian prince. My father was so impressed." She stopped, lost in her reverie, dancing once more at the terrace.
Well, thank you, Ruth. That was lovely.
Thank you.
Do you ever write any of your novel on retreat?
I certainly have. I wrote quite a bit, actually, of this novel and several other pieces and poetry, etc., when I've been on workshops. I get a bit jealous, actually, when you and I go to our organized retreats. And we're there to support the writers who are there. We're there to make sure that everything runs smoothly, that they have a good experience, that they're able to immerse in their writing and not have a care or a worry in the world. And that's our responsibility, which we take very seriously. So I immerse myself when I have the opportunity to have a retreat away from work, etc., so that I can have the joy that they have. And someone else looks after me on retreat. But I don't resent doing it for them, because there is this tremendous satisfaction that comes from seeing them leave at the end of retreat, and they are so charged and they're so ready to continue with their work. They feel validated with what it is that they've been working on, and the fact that they are writers, that they feel that that energy from being able to immerse directly into their work.
I agree with you. The look of accomplishment on their faces sometimes after a couple of days writing, you know, I did it. I did my 10,000 words or whatever it is they had come to do. And I've fallen back in love with my novel. I was going to give it up, but now I've fallen back in love with it, and I'm going to continue.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that.
It's so worthwhile.
It is. And our next one is coming up in April 17th to 21st. So 5 days of writers being able to immerse themselves in writing. And like you say, I wish it were me.
Right. But we do get to sneak in a little bit towards the end when there's a little less programming. But yes,
And I think we have a lot of fun too in the creative sessions, because we offer creativity sessions each day and prompts in the morning for those who want a little bit of help to get started or who need a break in the day. And I know when you're running one of the sessions, I write, and when I'm running one of the sessions, you write. So we do get a little bit of opportunity there. Right.
And then there's the one-on-one feedback that I find most gratifying, because I can't count on my, you know, the number of times when someone has sat across from me tentatively looking and saying, well, do you think it's any good? Or I'm not sure I can call myself a writer, but this is what I've been working on. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, my heavens, this is pure gold. And yes, you can certainly call yourself a writer. And to see that happen, I love that.
Yeah, so if any of our listeners out there are interested in a writing retreat, the next one is in April 17th to the 21st, and it's being held at Elmhurst, which is just on the north shore of Rice Lake, so not very far to go, but a nice chance to get away for either 3 days or 5 days. And you can find out all the details at our website, writescape.ca, and take it from there. And hopefully we will see some of you in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And thanks too to our listeners for tuning in today. If you'd like to connect with us, please visit our website, wordonthehills.com, where you can leave a comment. Also see the archives of all the programs if you've missed any, and perhaps give us some suggestions of who we might interview in the future. Or you could just email us at wordonthehills897@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll visit with us again next week.